Lopez Monteroso v. Gonzalez. Mr. Petty again.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, this is again a petition for review of a decision denying asylum, and it's a decision denying asylum by the same immigration judges in the previous case. And the Board of Immigration Appeals issued a decision that did comment upon the inappropriateness of one of the judge's comments, but really was essentially not a decision, but just simply an upholding of his findings. I find it hard to know where to begin to discuss Cesar Lopez's case, but I will quote a sentence from the immigration judge's decision. Quote, "One questions whether or not the motivation of the respondent was in fact to reunite with his mother after being separated when he was 13 years old and coming to the United States to land where, regretfully, people think gold is on the streets and all one has to do is come to the United States and pick them up from the roadside without the incumbent requirement to earn a living," unquote. Of course, there's no evidence in the record to support any of this. Cesar, who was 20 years old when he came to the United States, so not a child, testified as best he could about being targeted for persecution by the international criminal gangs that essentially controlled Guatemala. And he acknowledged that when he did come to the United States, he did in fact stay with his mother. I'm not sure where else he would stay in a case like that. Cesar had provided a very detailed declaration with his application about his experiences with these international gangs in his hometown of Coatepeque, along with a declaration from his mother to corroborate his story. But he didn't really get a chance to testify very much about his claim at all. As the brief notes, Cesar's testimony relevant to his asylum claim took up only 18 pages of the transcript, which includes both questions and answers translated into Spanish and English. The judge's questioning of Cesar, included in that 18 pages, covered a great many topics that have questionable relevance to the asylum claim, such as how many aunts and uncles Cesar has, whether the aunts and uncles have children, how many children they have, whether they go to school or whether they work, and what kinds of jobs they have. The judge also asked if Cesar knew the population of his town, Coatepeque, and how many businesses it has, how many churches, and whether the churches are Catholic or Protestant, and what percentage of the town's residents are Catholic or Protestant, and on and on and on about matters such as that. Cesar really didn't have a hearing at all on his asylum claim. He tried to explain his experiences and why he decided to leave Guatemala, but he was interrupted constantly by the judge and at one point browbeaten at length for not providing additional corroborating evidence. The judge's opinion, rendered immediately at the close of the hearing, which is customary, occupies 14 pages. That's 14 pages of decision to discuss 18 pages of testimony. The decision concludes that, quote, respondent's credibility is in question, unquote, but never really cites any testimony or evidence to support the conclusion. The judge did believe that Cesar's real reason for leaving Guatemala was to live with his mother. We know that because that conclusion is repeated three times in the decision. Although the judge's opinion makes it pretty clear that he didn't believe Cesar's story, he doesn't actually find him not credible, which the board noted in its opinion. He concluded only that, quote, his credibility is in question. But he doesn't really do much to analyze Cesar's actual asylum claim. Rather, the judge speculates about other possible motives that there could have been for the repeated attacks on Cesar by these gang members. And based on no testimony or other evidence, speculates about other reasons such as robbery and other things about which there was no testimony. And the only case that's cited, interesting, that cites one case that had been raised by the government, cites to Matter of V. Hill, which is there's not a citation in the decision, but it's 19 INN Decisions 572 from the Board of Immigration Appeals of 1988. The judge cited that apparently for the proposition that young urban males in El Salvador did not constitute a particular social group and that that was comparable to Cesar's situation. Unfortunately, the matter of Vigil is something different. It holds that neutrality is not a political opinion, that forcible recruitment by the Salvadoran army was not persecution. The judge apparently meant to cite a different case, matter of Sanchez and Escobar, which is also quite old, 19 INN Decisions 276 from 1989, which did in fact hold that young urban males in El Salvador were not a particular social group for purposes of asylum, but more of a statistical case. It would have been better if the judge could have, or more profitable for him to consider more recent cases, especially those decided in this circuit. And I would point to, for example, Tapiera de Orejuela versus Gonzalez, 423 F3rd 666 from this circuit, 2005. In that case, this court held that landowning cattle ranchers in Colombia were a particular social group, and because of that, they were targeted by the FARC rebels in Colombia for persecution. As in Cesar's case, there was no need to show that the social group was characteristic was immutable because the class members were well known to the persecutors, and that's the case, similar to the case in Cesar's case, that he was identified by name, by his identity. Further, even though the persecutors were not the government, in Tapiera de Orejuela, the government had proven that it was really essentially unable to control FARC, as it still is to this day. Similarly, in Cesar's case, the Guatemalan authorities have been helpless to control the international gang that have threatened his life. I want to emphasize in this case that we're not asking the court to reverse the board and grant asylum to Cesar, even if that were possible, which I don't believe it really is. What we're really asking is that it be remanded for a new hearing. Cesar didn't really have a hearing before the judge. He attempted to prove his case and was prevented from doing so and found essentially to be incredible based on pure speculation by the immigration judge. And we really only ask that he be given a chance to get a hearing on his claim, hopefully before a different judge. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Petty. Ms. Duran?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Leah Durant on behalf of the Attorney General respondent in this case. The immigration judge correctly determined that petitioner did not meet his burden of proof for asylum in this case. Substantial evidence in the record supports the immigration judge's determination that petitioner failed to establish harm that rose to the level of past persecution and also failed to show that he maintained a well-founded fear of persecution on account of a statutorily protected ground. Petitioner received a full and fair hearing in the proceedings below, and it was well within the immigration judge's discretion to grant his asylum claim. Regarding petitioner's claim of past persecution, the courts of appeals have determined that persecution is an extreme concept that doesn't include every sort of treatment that our society deems to be offensive. Additionally, the immigration judge, of course, found that the alleged attacks which petitioner testifies to did not rise to the level of past persecution. We would argue that they could more aptly be characterized as random acts of violence, as this court found in Gormley v. Ashcroft. Additionally, petitioner testified during his hearing that he was never arrested, he was never detained, he was never interrogated, and furthermore, he was never prevented from going to church. Another point that should be noted as well is that the alleged harm that he testifies to was not as a result of the government, it was not perpetrated by the government, but rather by Guatemalan street gangs, which he never attempted to go to the police, he never sought assistance from the government, so he can't now argue that this is perpetrated by forces that the government was unwilling or unable to control. Furthermore, he cannot establish that he had a well-founded fear of persecution when he testified that he never considered relocating. Also, that he had extended family who remain in Guatemala, and both of which undercut his claim. Furthermore, the immigration judge correctly found that he did not maintain a well-founded fear of persecution on account of a qualifying ground. We think that the court should take note of the fact that although he mentions Christianity, he completed his asylum application in 2003. It bears noting that he, A, didn't mention Christianity until a full two years later, and also that the record is replete with his testimony and also in his asylum application that he was allegedly persecuted because the gangs wanted to recruit him, and he states that on a number of different occasions throughout the record, which substantially undercuts his claim. The immigration judge correctly found that the facts of this case are strikingly similar to the case of the matter of Vigil, where the court found that certain characteristics that petitioner now argues, age, living environment, and conscience, do not make up a social group as cognizable under the Act. As a result of that, the immigration judge correctly made the determination that he did not have a well-founded fear on account of a statutorily protected ground. Furthermore, we assert that petitioner did have a full and fair hearing. Now, of course, there was a statement that the immigration judge made, which the board completely considered and took under consideration and found that although the judge, they too had concern with this comment that the judge made, they didn't feel that he had suffered harm because of it. They didn't feel that his proceedings were unfair as a result of it. He was represented by counsel, and he cannot show now that how he was prejudiced or how the outcome of his case would have been different had this comment not been made. Furthermore, we think it should be noted that petitioner had 5 hearings. He had an opportunity to be heard, and he received all the due process that was afforded to him. The hearings were directly in line with this court has already determined that unlike Article 3 judges, the purpose of immigration, or the role of an immigration judge, is to question and to interrogate and to fully expound upon the record, which is exactly what the immigration judge did. As such, we're arguing that petitioner was not harmed by the comments that the immigration judge made. And in fact, the immigration judge was solicitous to the petitioner on a number of different occasions. When petitioner failed to file his asylum application on time, the immigration judge allowed his application and considered it timely. That was one instance where the immigration judge was, in fact, solicitous to the petitioner. When petitioner had failed to mark Christianity as a basis for his grounds for asylum, the immigration judge allowed him to do that, even though he had not originally marked that in his I-589 application. As a matter of fact, petitioner now tries to testify as well that the immigration judge should have made a specific credibility finding before requiring corroborating evidence. However, of course, this court has determined that, first of all, we feel that the analysis is more aptly characterized here in this case as not a credibility analysis, but rather a burden of proof analysis. The immigration judge found that petitioner did not meet his burden of proof. For example, he testified that he attended a church with 400 members. He didn't produce one letter. He also testified he had extended family. Again, no documentation. He testified that he had to have medical attention. Again, no documentation. The only documentation that he provided in support of his claim was one affidavit, his own affidavit, of course, and one affidavit from his mother, who was not even in Guatemala at the time of the alleged attacks. She was in the United States. So because of these reasons, Your Honors, we would ask that the decision of the immigration judge, as well as of the Board of Immigration Appeals, be upheld, and the petitioner's petition for review be denied.
Thank you, Ms. Durant.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Petty, does he have any time? 2 minutes? Do you have anything further?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much to both counsel.